listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 133. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the dude drinking a hot coffee in the middle of summer, John
Dang
Brown.
Straight.
This week, we're talking about what it means to be a dom or a sub. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, or on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. I hate that handle. All links are in the show notes. A quick announcement before we get started.
Okay.
We are taking a week off on June 22nd.
Yes.
So we have this Friday and we have next Friday.
Correct.
And then the following Friday, no.
Correct.
And then we'll be back the following Friday.
The Friday after that.
Right.
Yep.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vacation!
And hopefully.
Well, kind of, sort of.
It's that
We won't be home.
We won't be home. And it's that vacation where I have to work twice as hard so I can actually take days off. But that's okay. It'll be worth it. So yeah, that's my only real announcement this week. Oh, and I would also like to announce... The microphone is plugged in.
Yes, it is. A little blue light.
A little blue light's on. We did our actual systems check like we normally do that we clearly didn't do at all last week.
It's amazing what happens when you do things in the daylight and you're awake.
I know. And you do things like you're supposed to do. I know. And I really think last week was kind of a fascinating discussion. And yet, I wonder how many people were totally distracted by, what? Why don't they sound right? God.
So sorry. I truly am sorry
yes,
for that.
Yes, we apologize for that. That was not us at our best. It just wasn't. And, you know, so people were like tweeting, oh, what happened? What happened? And of course, you had figured it out. But let us be quite honest with you. It sort of, I think it came across when we were talking to people that it was like right after we had recorded. And oops, no, y'all, we recorded Thursday night and it was Friday morning as I was stepping out of the shower. Then we went, wait, what? What's the problem?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was definitely not us at our best. So the mic's on this week, which is good because this conversation is one that it almost makes me think like episode 2 should have been this. And maybe on some level I kind of did this in the early episodes when it was just me. But we're not going to talk about who can be a dom or a sub. I covered that in the very first episode. It's like an 8 or 9 minute episode of me going, anybody can be, you know, I was like really passionate, except very nervous. Yeah. I was reading my words. So we already know that anybody can be whatever, but I think that there's a lot of conversation and then, you know, Twitter arguments and FetLife arguments among some people about what that means. So,
yeah,
you know, periodically I see kinksters that I respect a lot. They have to put out sort of a bulletin of, you can do it your way and I can do it my way and that's valid. And I know they're not just putting that out there because the random thought occurred to them.
Mm-hmm.
They saw something, somebody said something to them. So it's not that I think we're going to change, you know, the whole world's minds. God, I wish we had that kind of power. But I think it is something worth exploring in a longer in-depth conversation. And actually trying to put the outline together for this one was really hard because in my mind, there's not much to say. In my mind, we can wrap this up in like 30 seconds. Want me to hear how this goes?
Sure.
Okay. You can call yourself whatever you want. Dom, sub, queen of the ant pile. I don't care as long as you have consent and communication with your partner. Ta-da!
Okay, I'm going to go take a nap now.
We're done! Podcast is over! Okay, maybe not.
If only it was that simple.
And you know what? I think for most people, when they're thinking of just themselves and they're comfortable with who they are as a dominant or submissive, they're like, yeah, I mean, no shit, I get that. But first of all, there are people who are not quite comfortable with who they are yet. And then there are people who maybe they're new or maybe they've been in the life so long time, but they're really set in their ways. And the way that feels right to them is in their mind, quote, right.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget the rest of that expression is right for them. And so when they start talking about it, they come across as kind of, you know, I don't want to call anybody I like an asshole, but that's kind of how it comes across because you come across as this is the one true way. And there is no other way.
The one true way.
I know. And I don't like the one true way. That's all bullshit.
Yes.
So let's maybe see if we can break this down, because this conversation could be a little bit like last week's, and then that it goes all over the place and we lose total control over it, which is sad because it's our conversation. So I think most of us can agree that we each get our own, if we get to define any label for ourselves. You know, I talk to people all the time who are like, I didn't think I liked the term baby girl until I heard you and I heard your way of being a baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we get these labels in our head and we think we know what they mean until we see somebody else doing it differently from a stereotype or just different from what we've been exposed to in the past and other parts of the community. The same is true with Dom and Sub, you know. However you personally define that label, whether you even use that label or not, that's up to you. And there is no single right way. There is no one definition. My definition, if I had to give a broad definition of dominant, the one in control, to the extent with which the submissive gives them that control.
Putting it in a nutshell, the leader.
The leader.
Yeah.
And the submissive is, I guess you'd say, the follower, and yet not a blind follower.
Not a blind follower.
Not a passive follower.
No one should ever follow blindly.
Oh, please don't. Not a passive follower. Not a doormat follower. They follow because they choose to follow. The dominant leads not only because they choose to lead, but because they've got somebody willing to follow them.
Right.
And that's about it. The minutiae of the words you use, the expression on your face, the tone of your voice, that's about you as an individual and what works for you. So when you come across the dominant that's not got that gruff, growly voice, is not throwing out commands like they don't know how to use the word please.
Get me my coffee.
I would laugh at you if you said that to me. I'm sorry. I would not take you seriously. Unless you paired it with the look, and then I might, but I'd probably still giggle at you. See, that's kind of the look, but not if he gave me the look, y'all. He forgot this is a podcast and you can't see him. But, you know, we know you are one of them. Plenty of dominants who say please and thank you and who you don't tell me to do very much. You ask me to do a lot of things, but you don't really tell me to do a lot.
No. See, to me, being a dominant, kinky fuckery aside,
right.
is being a leader. And I have always been a firm believer that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Of course. I agree.
Okay. So, you know, there are times I do command you.
Sure. Sure, yeah.
Girl, get in the bedroom and strip.
Okay.
Yeah, see?
Can we do that now?
We'd have to hit pause and come back to this, but you know, yeah, when I want my coffee, baby girl, I'd like you to get me a cup of coffee.
And yet there are some people out there who would say the fact that you'd say I'd like you to makes you somehow less dominant. But then that there's a flip side to that. There are dominants out there that when they speak to their submissives, it is to issue commands, throw out orders. That's their style.
But that's their style and their dynamic.
And what I have found is this willingness to kind of try to define for the rest of the world, not just yourself, what, and in this example we're using dominant, means, so what happens is there is a class of person out there, kinkster, who looks at your style of dominance and says, oh, that's not dominance, and they forget to add the words for me.
Right.
But on the other side, people who experience DS very similarly to the way we do will look at dominance on the other side who come across as very harsh, very strict, very firm, very controlling in a way that for other people, for me personally, would be a little off-putting, and they'll say, well, that's not dominance, that person's not asking that part. Are you trying to I'm waving my hands, he's trying to bite it. That person
right in front of my face.
That person's not the right kind of dominant, and they forget to add the words for me.
Right.
And I'd like to think that that's what's implied when we say things like that, but I've just been watching too many people online, and I don't think that's what they're thinking.
Well, just like there's a mindset that you cannot be a dominant unless you were born a dominant. You had to be.
It has to be a natural part of who you are.
And that's the only way it can happen. And do I think that that does occur?
Absolutely.
Every day there are people who are natural born leaders.
And that's how they express themselves, is in that dominant way. Professionally, sure. Mm-hmm. But within their relationships, they are the take control, take charge partner. Right. Yes.
Can someone who is not a natural born leader achieve that? Absolutely. You can learn and grow into that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that I hear. I hear this from both sides. So I've heard this from dominants talking to their submissives, and I've heard this from submissives talking about their dominants, where they say one of two things. They say, how can I make that person be my DRS? Which you can't.
No.
And the other one is they say they decide for themselves, because in their mind, their partner has never exhibited a dominant or a submissive trait, that person can't possibly be one. Well, and that's not true either.
That is absolutely not true. But here is the key component. All right. Talking about big D's. All right. Yes. I have heard that too so many times. Little S's say, how can I make my partner become a big D?
And you can't. That's the simple answer. You cannot.
You cannot make them be something they don't want to be.
Right, or that they're not. There are some people, it's not in their style. It's not going
to
happen.
But the true key to that is that person has to want to become the leader.
Absolutely. Or let's go on the other side of the slash. They have to want to submit to you. There has to be some thing about your relationship, about them, about you, about whatever, that makes them go, you know what? I'll try this. We'll see how this works. Crap, I lost my train of thought.
Oopsie.
We're getting wild and crazy here. We got daylight out there while we're recording. But there's also this sort of thing where people decide, oh, that's what I was thinking, where the people who say, well, if you don't actively have, let's say for you, you're the dominant, you don't actively have a submissive, then you're not dominant. And that's bullshit too.
Yeah.
Because yes, doing dominant things, dominating somebody, doing the verb part of it, yes, you do need a partner for that. But to be a dominant, nobody else gets to decide if John Brownstone is a dominant except John Brownstone. Just like nobody else gets to decide if I'm a submissive except for me. We don't get to decide for other people based on what we see of those other people. We can make judgment calls about whether those are red flags, whether we believe it's bad behavior. And before we start yelling out about bad behavior, let's please try to make sure we have all the facts. Sometimes we do. I mean, some things are just blatantly bad behavior. Somebody slides into your DMs and makes a demand of you without conversation, without consent. That's bad behavior. You get to call that out. But when you're looking at somebody else's relationship and interaction, and you don't have any clue other than what you see from the outside, you know a lot less than you realize.
Right.
Because you don't know what that relationship has consented to. You don't know what those people are willing to do and want to do and what they prefer. All you know is from your experience. And so that's why you get to have your opinion, but you have to remember, oh, that's not how DS is. Then remember to add the words for me. So there's a lot of different things that we do where we sort of decide what's right and what's true. And the blog post for this week is about why we need to be careful about what we label as real. I think that we will come across times where we go, no, this interaction I'm having with this person is not behaving as I hate to say the word real. I tend to go with good. Because unless this person has told me exactly what they're thinking, I don't feel like I can make a judgment call. I don't feel like I can decide that that person's not a real dominant or a real submissive until they say something that clues me into their thought process. But we absolutely can call out bad behavior, and we can call out the people who do the red flags and who aren't actually trying to create consent between themselves and another person. They don't really care about communication. They're just trying to get their rocks off. They're not what I would term a dominant or a submissive. When they do that, But I think we need to be really careful about throwing out the word real.
Yeah.
Because there have been times where I have read the big, long Tumblr rant. And somebody, sometimes I agree with it completely. But sometimes somebody will throw in a word about what they think is right and what they think is wrong. And what, and I'm, and they're like, this isn't real and this isn't okay. And I'm like, oh God, I see myself in this description. Yeah. I have to fundamentally disagree with that because I'm quite real. Thank you. I pinch myself. It hurts. I'm sitting here. Daddy, I'll show you my tits. Am I real?
Yeah, they look real to me.
I'm real. So it's, and I get it. It's this thing that we kind of can't help but do. You know, we live in a world where we get to put our opinion out for the world at any given moment. You can go on Facebook, you know, on Twitter. Hell, you can turn on a microphone if you plug it in and you can record yourself having opinions. I almost made him spit his coffee out. We have that freedom and that luxury and that power and that privilege,
right?
You know, and I'm of the mind that we need to be careful with that, that we get to say anything we want. But before we start lecturing an entire community about what we think is right or wrong, I think it's better to take a look at ourselves and say, okay, am I talking about me in specifically? Am I talking in general? It's why when we do these shows, I always feel like I waffle and I'm wishy-washy because I'll throw out a caveat. Like, here's this thing I feel strongly about, but here's the caveat because it's not completely black and white, right?
Yeah.
So that's where it gets squishy. And the reason I wanted to talk about it here, about what it means to be a dom and a sub, and I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of definitions because it is highly personal. The reason I feel like it's something we need to talk about is because I see newer people coming into the lifestyle and they say, oh, I didn't think I was dominant based on, and then fill in the blank. You're one of them. Exactly.
I'm one of them.
And then we have those conversations with people who will say, I don't think my partner can do this because they don't exhibit what I think, the person talking to me, not me personally, are dominant traits or submissive traits. And I always have to kind of go, whoa, 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 slow down. You need to present this to them and find out. You can't make this assumption. I mean, you can make this assumption, but you're getting nowhere with it. You just made yourself miserable because you've made this assumption.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you took a breath. I was going to let you go.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you know, like I said before, I consider dominant being a leader. And just like there's many different types of dominance, there are, or dominant styles.
Yes, absolutely. Okay?
So are there many types of leadership styles?
Absolutely. Okay? And if you only knowing about one leadership style doesn't mean that it negates every other leadership style out there.
Right.
Just like if you have one bad experience with one type of dominant or submissive, you can decide for yourself that you're never going to go do that again, and that's fine. But what you've only experienced is one style.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that everybody else out there, we're not a monolith. I promise you, there are submissives like me, but there are submissives who are nothing like me.
and it doesn't make them any less.
Exactly. And they're perfect for somebody. That's
right.
That's where I was going earlier when we're talking about the different types of D's or the different types of S's. Just because somebody isn't my type of dominant and I go, ooh, no, I wouldn't let that person talk to me like that, doesn't mean that there's not somebody out there who's like, oh, yeah, baby, that hits all my buttons.
Exactly.
That's what I like.
Right.
And so we get to figure that out and we get to sort of navigate this whole world and find what works, what doesn't. You know, some people, you're new, you're going to try a thing. You're going to try a thing because you saw it in porn. You're going to try a thing because you read it in erotica.
Mm-hmm.
You have a friend, maybe you went to a munch and you heard how somebody else does it. And you're like, shit, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll try that too.
Right.
And you're going to find that it doesn't work for you or it doesn't work for a partner. And just like we adjust every other facet of our life when we're learning something new, You adjust and you find what works for you. But too many people question themselves because they don't match up to what they think, quote unquote, they're supposed to do and to be. And it's sad and it's unnecessary. And there are people who go around denying themselves because they're playing this really awful comparison game, or the voices that they're hearing, and I don't mean the ones in their head, that's different. The voices that they're hearing online or in their community are trying to dictate to them what it means to be dominant or submissive.
Right. Well, like I just explained to somebody recently, you know, it's good to have a mentor. And I'm talking about a dominant having a dominant mentor.
Mm.
All right. It's wonderful to have somebody to ask questions of.
Sure.
Okay. It is wonderful to go to dom meetings, sub meetings, all this different things. But, you know, just because you hear somebody who does things differently than you does not make you wrong. You are completely in your rights to pick and choose what works for you, what makes you happy. Okay? You don't have to take someone else's word as gospel.
Absolutely not. If it doesn't feel right, like, I understand asking for advice and hearing a thing and going,
right.
I never thought of that before, but sure, I'll try it, right? Like, you're gathering information. You're like, sure, I'll take this.
Put your own twist into it.
And you try something and it doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right. You don't like it. You're not the one that's broken, okay?
No.
That thing, that tip, that piece of advice
is not for you.
Isn't for you. Or you think, well, I would do it kind of this way, but here's how I would deviate. Good for you. That's creative thinking. That's problem solving. Please. All that matters is that the person you're choosing to dominate or submit to, whichever side you're on at that given moment, because we also need to say very clearly, switches are real.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Switches are legitimate D's or S's, whichever way they want to go. I just want to put that out there. But as long as the person that you're in this relationship with, or this scene with, or this moment in time with, is picking up what you're putting down, okay, you're good. You're doing it, quote, right. We're very concerned. And I say we. I'm less concerned these days. I just do my own damn thing. But kinksters at large tend to be very concerned about doing things the, quote, right way. And on one level, my little type A heart sort of goes, oh, I like that. I get that. I understand that feeling. But now, as somebody who, from outward appearances, if you were not in the middle, if you weren't standing literally between John Brownstone and myself in any given moment, you would never believe I'm a submissive. You would never believe that I let anybody tell me what to do, because there's only one human being on the planet who gets to tell me what to do. So, I don't care if anybody on the outside says, well, you don't act like a submissive, because I know who I am and I know what we've got. And that's the thing that I think more people need to focus on, is what have you got between you and the other person, the person on the other side of the slash? What's working there? What is fulfilling you there? How are you getting off? Is this working for you? Fine. Then you're doing it, quote, right. And you are certainly real. It doesn't have to match up with what anybody else is doing.
As far as a big D goes, there's a few more other things, but two main things. One, you have to want to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have to have consent to do whatever it is you want to do.
And you got to have somebody who wants to to follow you.
And exactly. The same thing goes for the little S side. They want to follow.
Right.
And give consent.
Exactly. And if, again, separate out the verb dominate from the noun, adjective. Ooh, no, my grammar's out the window right now. The dominant. You can and are a dominant or a submissive as long as you feel like one, as long as you decide that that's part of your identity for however long, forever and ever, amen, or for the next 30 minutes. It doesn't matter. You get to give yourself that label, and you even get to take that label off at will. Okay, that's up to you. The verb side, dominating, submitting, that's when you've got a consenting partner.
Right.
And whatever that action looks like between the two of you, it's the right way. As long as you're both consenting, as long as you're both getting something out of it, it's the right way. Now, let's go back to something we mentioned a little bit ago, which is the people the two sides of the people who desperately want to get, make, or convince their partner to be their S or D. And then those people who are convinced that their partner can never be their D or S. Every time somebody tells me that, and they don't immediately go, oh, really? We need to have a conversation? Because that's always my advice. You have to talk to your partner about this. I can't help you with this. This is a conversation for you guys. I often wonder if that person even knows what they want yet. You know?
True.
Because the answer is always you're going to have a conversation. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be awkward. You're going to worry that, you know, they're going to see you in a different way. You're going to worry that they're going to tell you no, that they don't want to do this. Those things are completely real. But while all you're doing is talking about it and spinning yourself up and trying to figure out how you can make somebody do something, nothing is actually happening. You're not moving forward at all. And part of it, and we kind of hit on this last week when we were talking about red flags of submissives, which was a fascinating conversation if the mic had been on. I'm not going to be over that for a while. Some of it is about trust and control. So a dominant has to trust that this person they're hoping will be their submissive is going to actually submit.
Correct.
You can't make somebody submit. They have to choose to do it. And you have to figure out together the parameters that allow that person to feel comfortable enough to give up that control. It's a huge thing to say, yeah, I'll let you be the decider between us and I'll do what you ask me to do within certain parameters. Sure, that's a big thing. That's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the side of the people, submissives, not being ready to give up control or wanting to control the outcome. And the thing is about being dominant and submissive or submissive is that you can't control how the other person's going to feel about the dynamic, how they're going to express their dominance or submission, what that's going to mean to them. And this is absolutely a journey. And to a certain extent, especially for those people who are already in an existing relationship, that they're not trying to end the relationship. They want to do this thing with their partner. This is, you know, they're not looking for a new partner. They've got a partner and they want to go down this path. In my mind, you as the one who's already decided this is who you are. Now, how do I get my partner along with me to be mm-hmm. the other side of the slash? What you're going to have to do is let go of any and all preconceptions you have of what it means to be however you identify, submissive or dominant. And I get it. When we discover, I'll use me as an example. When I discovered submission, in my mind, there were very clear pictures. There was a lot of kneeling. There was a lot of nudity. There was a lot of not really thinking, which I think is what I was craving because at the time I was a single mom and I just really wanted somebody to take over. You know, there was a lot of, I don't have to decide anything. I don't have to, I just can stand there and wait to be given my order. And then I had the experience of actually submitting and realized, oh, wait, this is a reciprocal thing. In the scene that we, you know, we negotiated, that first scene I was in, yeah, I didn't have to do much except just whatever the hell I was told. And that was glorious. But but outside of that scene, no, I had to be an active participant. There was no laying back and waiting for the other person to decide for me. Partly because I would have immediately pushed back and gone, excuse me, because it's not my personality anyway. So when you're in this position that you're very concerned or convinced that your partner can't be or won't be, or you're not sure how to make them be whatever you need them on whichever side of the slash, part of that is you're going to have to let go of whatever you think it means to be who you identify as. Mm-hmm. Because the picture you have in your head from talking to other people in my own experiences, so I'm sure somebody out there will negate this, but I think that's rare. It's going to be different. It's not going to be what you see in your head. Not all the time. Not routinely. Maybe in a scene.
The reality is not always the fantasy.
It's not, because it is a lot of give and take, and it's a lot of conversation, and it's a lot of compromise.
It is.
Especially once you start going through the, well, I want to do this. Oh, you don't want to do that?
And especially when it moves out of the bedroom.
Oh gosh, yes. It's pure. It's you're compromising and you're juggling and you're balancing the moment you come out of the bedroom, because as many people who email us ask, how do we do DS outside the bedroom without anybody knowing? And that's when we've done these episodes before, we start talking about the subtle things
right.
and picking things that are meaningful to you that look, you know, mundane to other people, that only have meaning to you. And that's when it becomes this balancing act. And as a mom and a business owner, I can tell you there are times when, yeah, we are 24/7 DS. In our minds, that's exactly what we are. But I promise you, there are times I turn to John Brownstone and I sound like anything but a submissive. Because in that moment, I have to put on the mom hat or the business owner hat and let the submissive side stand down and slide to the back for a minute.
Right.
So it is this compromise thing. And those moments, from a submissive perspective, are the moments early on when I questioned myself more than anything. I was like, oh my God, I'm still taking charge. Does that mean I'm not really submissive? I'm submissive as long as I say I'm submissive. I'm submissive as long as my dominant says, yes, you are my submissive.
Right.
The rest of it, those moments in between, don't define my submission.
Baby girl mine.
Yes, I like that. And you're right, I am yours. So yeah, I think I ran out of steam. I think it's your turn. I'm sure you can lecture somebody for a few minutes. Well, I think the other thing I did have on my list, two things I had on my list, is one, sometimes when we're trying to do it the quote right way, we try to emulate somebody else.
True.
And sometimes I think we try too hard to emulate people. I said this, I remember this early in my blogging life. I was reading DS blogs. I was totally in love with some DS blogs. The people who aren't blogging anymore, and that makes me sad because they were really good at it. And I would say to them, oh my gosh, this is the kind of dynamic that I want. And I said it in innocence, and I said it with, you know, sort of I was naive to a certain extent, because what I saw was the part of themselves that they presented.
True.
And that part of themselves, you know, sounded wonderful. And truly, for them, I hope it was their reality. For all I know, it was pure fiction. But for me, because I was not living that life and I wasn't one of those people, it was pure fiction. It was total fantasy. And I said to myself, oh, that's what I want. We get that all the time.
Sure.
People will say, I want a dominant like you're dominant, or I want to be a submissive like you are. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you do not want to be this basket case. Let me tell you, be better than me, please. And I think that is natural. I am not knocking anybody who does it. I think that when you're new and you're trying to figure yourself out and you're sorting through all of this stuff, it only kind of makes sense to sort of gravitate towards people who sort of make sense to you and that you connect with on some level. The energy connection is there. There's a good vibe. And you think, okay, that's what I want, because you don't have anything else to base it on. But it goes back to what we said a little bit ago. If I do a thing that speaks to you, try it. That's fine. I don't own any of the things I do. I'm just out there doing my thing. Go ahead. Try a thing I suggest. Try a thing I've done. Even if I tell you, oh God, I did that and it did not work out, feel free to try it. But don't beat yourself up if you try to emulate what I am or what you, John Brownstone, are, or what another Kingster is that you're following online, and it doesn't work.
Right.
This is a journey, and I know there are some people who their eyes practically roll out of their head every time one of us says, and I don't mean just you and me, anybody in the King community calls this a journey, but I don't have a better word for it.
True.
Because I am on a path, and the path has been winding, and the path twists and turns.
Oh, it does. It is not a straight line. It twists and turns. It goes uphill. It goes downhill. It forks.
Our DS has changed. We started one way. We're here in another space. I think it would be naive of me to think that in 15, 20 years, we will be the exact same form of DS that we are right now.
It's going to morph and evolve even more.
Exactly.
And that's something that brings to mind something, you know, and I've hit on this before, but this is to me important, and I think it needs to be said again. You know, because I have seen this happen in my own life, all right? The way I am with submissive X and the way they respond to me is totally different than the way I may treat submissive Y and the way submissive Y responds, which then is totally different from how you do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So you know, what there may be many who are already partnered couples who are exploring this from scratch, and y'all are blank slates.
Absolutely. You can be anything you want
to be. You can be anything you want to be. If you are, a big D entering into a relationship with someone who has been in the lifestyle, how a past dominant was with them is going to be totally different how you do it.
And it's going to, regardless of which side of the slash, it is potentially, if this is your first time to transition from one partner to another, it's going to mess with your head a little bit because you feel like you have this identity. I am this type of kinkster. I am this type of submissive. I am this type of dominant. And that's because that's what you know. And that's a right. valid thought to have. And then you're going to encounter this other person that you like that has some sort of, you know, vibe with you that feels good. It's different from the last person. The former partner and the new partner could have a lot in common. They are still totally different people, mm-hmm. and they're going to react to things differently, and they're going to have different triggers, and they're going to have a different past. And so the person you become as the dominant or the submissive is going to shift as long as that's a person you want to be with. And it's going to mess with your head a little bit if you've never gone through it before, if you're not expecting it. You might even question yourself and go, wait, what happened to me? I thought I was this kind of dom. Right.
And one of the worst things you can do in a case like that, well, that's not how so-and-so did it.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's not the way I'm used to doing it.
Right. And on one level, I think that's natural. I think we want to feel like we know what's going to happen. We want to feel like we can kind of control the outcomes. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that person in front of you is not your former partner. They're not going to do a damn thing exactly like that former partner.
Right.
Even if you negotiate down to the smallest detail, what you want done, what can't be done, where the limits are, you know, all of that, it will never be identical. And if you go looking for identical, you're going to be disappointed. But if you can remind yourself that it being different, you being slightly different, is normal and natural, you'll get through it a little bit better. There's still a sort of an adjustment period. You do still have to kind of recognize that that's what's happening. And until you do, you might question and you might wonder and you might worry about yourself. And that's just, to me, a part of the process. Some people roll with changes really easily and they go.
Others don't because they want that routine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting that routine, but sometimes you have to be open to a little bit of change to achieve that new routine.
Exactly. And I think sometimes if you find yourself in deep with new relationship energy, that's kind of easier to do because you're so excited to be with this person. It feels so good. You're like, oh, you do this differently, but I love it. Let's do it. Yes. And you don't really notice it. When I noticed it and when my head went, wait, what? was right before I was ready to say the word daddy to you. Before I even asked you the question, could you be a daddy? And we've told that story a dozen times, maybe more. That was the laugh right there. but I had to go through a little bit of that. You'd been calling me baby girl because we found that out and that fit. But realizing that I wasn't going to have a dominant who was really strict and who demanded a lot of discipline from me,
mm-hmm.
it was actually quite a relief, to be honest, because by then I had kind of figured myself out and I was like, oh no, I don't think this is going to work. But it did make me kind of go, wait, but that old way I submitted is all I know. What does that mean about what I'm thinking of right now and who you are and who mm-hmm. I am? And it wasn't like a huge, you know, crisis that I went through, but it can be because I have no doubt there are some people, I think we've met people who have gone from, you know, a submissive that's, it's, it's on the maybe the lighter end of the spectrum where there's not a lot of discipline, there's not a lot of consequences or punishment. You know, it's very much a very relaxed, chill kind of thing. I've seen them go from that to a micromanaged slave. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen micromanaged slaves go from that in one relationship to, you know, a caregiver little kind of thing, because right. they met this one person and that person brought that out in them and it felt right. And then mm-hmm. they met this person and this person allows them to get in touch with a different side of themselves. And I have seen them sort of go, wait, what? I've also seen the community try to say that that's, quote, not possible. And I'm here to say, fuck that. Yeah, it is. You know, we have a friend where she is absolutely, in her mind, she is a slave, but she absolutely has baby girl tendencies. And they, yes. and he does not micromanage her no. at all, but they have certain things within their relationship that come straight from master slave. And then right. they have certain aspects of their relationship that come straight from caregiver little. Mm-hmm. And that works for yes. them.
Yeah.
And he actually used to go by daddy to the whole world. I mean, even his fet name had daddy in it. Mm-hmm. And there came a point before he met her where he went, no, I'm not doing that anymore. That's not right for me anymore.
Yeah.
And yet we watched them at the munch. Mm-hmm. She brings out the daddy in him. It's not his title anymore.
No.
But that's, and I think maybe, no, I think that might be what she calls him privately.
Probably.
But it's not like his fet name anymore.
No.
Because, but you can see it. You can see that they each went from what they thought or from what worked in previous relationships that were perfect in those previous relationships. Mm-hmm. And they created something completely new together.
A hybrid.
Because of the way they interact with each other right. and what they bring out in each other. And this takes me to, I think, what's kind of my last point on my list.
Okay.
And that is, it took me a long time to get here in everything. And then the moment I did, and I mean, when I say everything, I mean gender, sexuality, and kink. The moment I got to this point of thinking, this has been a few years ago, the whole world just opened up. Everything else made sense. And here it is. And we're talking specifically about DOMs and subs, but really this gender, sexuality, kinks, fetish, everything. It all exists on a spectrum.
Yeah.
From one end to the next. So take submissives on their, give them their own spectrum. And it can go from light, 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 light to like maybe every once in a while during sex, up to the most micromanaged slave that you can imagine that mm-hmm. many of us, if you look at life in a bell curve where most of us are in the middle and we're going, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that. And you look at the other end, you go, right. nope, that's not right for me either. All of it is absolutely a spectrum. And yet, even though it's a spectrum, we can also overlap on things. So that's why somebody who says, no, I'm just a submissive, I'm not a little, like I look at my baby girl side and my submissive side as two separate parts of me. Most of the time they overlap. And when they don't, that is when there are usually tears involved. it's been a long time since the two sides were not in agreement, but sometimes. Yeah. So for some of us, some people say, I'm just a submissive, I'm not anything else. And then they find these tendencies. It's usually after listening to this podcast for a while where they hear me talk about it and they go, oh, yeah, I like some of that. Oh, yeah, I think I might identify in that way as a baby girl or a baby boy or whatever. Yeah, I think I kind of recognize that part of myself. And some people get really flustered with it. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how these pieces fit. And some people just take it in and it becomes part of their identity and it's part of where they are on the spectrum. So even with the submissive spectrum, a slave spectrum, a little spectrum, even those things can be mm-hmm. separate pieces of who you are, and even they can overlap, and you can be a little bit little and a lot submissive and no slave at all. You can be a little bit slave and a little bit little, and that yeah. you know, it's completely unique from person right. to person, sub or dom. Now, I think dominance, maybe it's because I don't hear too many dominants talk about this. So if there are dominants out there with an opinion on this or who can clarify some of this, I would love to hear it. We as submissives talk very much about the different sides of our submission. Little, slave, mm-hmm. submissive, pet, all these different sort of roles we can play that are part of who we are. I don't want to call them roles as if they are separate from us and they're like a costume we put on, but they're bits and pieces of us and we can let them out. And yet I do not hear dominants talk about that very often. You know, no. I hear dominants say, I am a master, I'm a mistress, I'm a dominant, I'm a caregiver, I'm a mommy, I'm a daddy, I'm a, you know,
right.
whatever, however they identify, they've chosen for the most part a title. And I think many doms who've been in different relationships can, even if they haven't themselves done it, can concede that the title may change. You know, for one person you're this, right. For another person you're that. But I've never heard of a dominant talking about, within their dominant side,
mm-hmm.
talking about different parts of their dominance. Is it because y'all just aren't talking about it, or because I'm not paying attention, or because it's just not a conversation you're having?
I think it's sometimes more along the line, oh, you're a dominant? Yeah, I'm a dominant too.
So what is it about submissives? So submissives go, I'm a submissive, I'm a baby girl, I'm a this, I'm a that. Let me give you all my labels. Or is that just me too? That might just be me too. and you know, and well, so then I'm asking you as my guinea pig dominant.
Oh God, okay.
As the example for all the dominants. Mm. You are the representative. I hope.
Oh God, I hope not.
I hope you got a t-shirt for that position. Do you feel that there are... there's more than one, at least, side to your dominance?
Yeah, and I think it's, while oddly enough, yeah, I don't think it's talked so much out in public. I know online, you know, you do, I do see more of it online.
Okay,
where people identify as daddies, as you know, people identify as caregivers, as mommies, I think that comes out a little bit more. But
that's not
there.
What I mean. You're a daddy.
Yeah.
You're my daddy. I'm very leery of
anybody. I'm not a daddy. I'm your daddy.
Right. But that's not what I mean. So let me break this down for you from my perspective. And okay. I do not speak for all submissives. I was not voted that leader. I'm not trying for that position. The t-shirt didn't fit. so I do know I speak. I am saying what other submissives I know have said. Okay. Not for all submissives, just for a few of us. If you ask me mm-hmm. what kind of submissive, or tell me about your submission, or let's talk about your submissive. Okay, here's what is probably going to pour out of my mouth, because it's also in my bio online. I am a submissive baby girl masochist, right? That's mm-hmm. how I use my labels. Not everybody uses labels. I get that.
True.
But I can talk to you on deep levels about... Here is where my submission comes out. Here are where the places that I bottom or for me. You see what I mean?
Yes.
I don't hear dominants go, well, I've got some daddy dom tendencies, but every once in a while my primal side comes out, and I have been known to have a slave or two, so I've got this map. I do not hear that.
And then there's the sadistic side.
Right. Now, okay. I know you have that side because you and I are very open with each other and hello the microphone in front of us. So the world knows that John Brownstone is a daddy dom and a sadist because we talk about that. But I, in general, do not hear that.
No, you're correct. And I'm running my tapes backwards here, thinking of all the years attending the local munches. And yeah, no, that type of discussion does not really come up.
Do you, when you think of yourself as a dominant, do you... And I don't mean when you're being really introspective. Like mm-hmm. that quick sort of, hey, I got to talk about myself for a second. Well, we find ourselves in those positions sometimes, especially at munches and stuff. New people. In your head, not necessarily what comes out of your mouth, but in your head, are you doing that? Well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. And it just, because I've heard you introduce yourself. Hi, mm-hmm. I'm John. I'm the big D. And you're good.
Yeah,
you're done.
Pretty much it. Yeah. Right. Short, sweet, and to the point.
And if I don't know somebody and I'm not in the speaker role, I'm like, yeah, I'm with him. You know? The moment somebody hears me call you daddy, they're going to figure it mm-hmm. out. But when you think of yourself and your dominance, do you think of it in pieces and parts? Or for you, is it just
no,
a dominant?
I think to me... And I'm talking personally. I don't know. I'd be curious if anybody else thought otherwise. But to me, no. I don't think of it in pieces. I think of it as a whole.
Gotcha. So then that's the fascinating thing. Is that
I mean, are there many different parts to it for me? Absolutely.
Absolutely. I can name most of them. But that, and that's where I'm curious. Is that more of a delineation between submissive and dominant? Do more, not all, it's never all, do more submissives do that than dominants? Is it that dominants just don't talk about that and submissives, some of us, once we get comfortable, we just, it's a little bit of word vomit. I am just as guilty as anybody else. I guess I would be curious if, I'd love to hear from submissives. If you don't think of yourself that way, you might recognize, yeah, I've got this and I've got that. But when you're, you know, going into your head a little bit, you know, you're just submissive and that's fine with you. Yeah. And I'd love to hear from dominants. If the opposite is true, like I'd love to hear a cross section. I'd love to hear people, you know, to find out, because I know in the conversations I have with a lot of submissives, we're, that's how we're describing ourselves, you know? And I know from questions I've been asked by submissives that what, for some of them, what happens is they go, I am a submissive. And then that has some sort of meaning in their head. And then they discover all these little pieces and parts. And then they go, oh, well, I'm incorporating this, you know, little side or this side or that side or this thing I didn't know I liked. And it's part of my identity. And so therefore they're, when they describe their identity, it's in pieces and parts. And so I'm just fascinated how other people, how other people view themselves, and then how other people talk about themselves. Because, yeah, I'm, you know, when we're in public and we're in a place where it's, you know, it's a kink space, I'm just like, yeah, I'm with you, you know, because in those spaces, I tend to be really reserved and really quiet anyway. I don't really know people. I'm not really talking about stuff. But if somebody says, oh, we've got Kayla Lords here, would you stand up and like do a thing? And I, you know, look at our friend and go, really? You're making me do this thing now? Sure. And once I have to start talking about who I am and I'm introducing myself in a broader sense, it all comes out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, here are all the parts of me that go into my specific label of what it means to be the little S. So I would just love to know if there are dominants out there who are like, hell yeah, I do that. If there's submissives out there like, nah, I don't really think about it much. And I, you know, maybe that's a personality thing. I am weirdly introspective. I could easily spend the majority of the day in my head. And so therefore I think in those terms. And some people don't. They don't need all that. They don't need to parse it that way. But that goes back to, what does it mean to be a dom or a sub? It's whatever you need it to
mean. Whatever you want it to be. Whatever works for you.
And then what works in relation to the other person on the other side of the slash that you're partnered with. That's how it works. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't fit somebody else's definition. It doesn't matter if it doesn't look like anything else anybody's doing. If I, like we said at the top, if we have to give a broad definition of dominant, it's the leader, it's the person in the control. I always like to say the decider. And the submissive is the follower, or the one who gave up some level of control. There's no quote right amount of control to take or give up. There's no quote right amount of leading or following to do. It can be a teeny tiny bit, it can be every single thing, it can be something in the middle, it can be like nothing you've ever seen from your local kink community. It doesn't fucking matter.
No.
What it means to be a dom or sub is completely and totally up to you.
Yeah.
End of story. Now.
Agreed.
All of that, I'll say all of that. I know we have new people who go, but I don't even know what my choices are. I get that. I totally get that. That is why we advocate for following a lot of people, consuming a lot of resources. We love that there are people who consider us their main resource, and we try to live up to that. But please, God, read another book, listen to another podcast,
read,
too.
Read books, listen to other podcasts.
Listen to audiobooks, watch YouTube.
Talk to other people, get involved in your community, and talk to people in your community.
And the reason for that is that way you are around a whole bunch of other different ways of doing this.
A number of places. Especially with active communities that have dungeons, they hold workshops.
Go to the workshops.
Go to the workshops.
If you can, whatever your means allow you to. Some of us do not have the means to get to a meeting. Some of us don't have the means to buy a lot of books. That's why podcasts are free. Your library, you would be shocked at the amount of things you can find through a library. If you live in an area that has a big library system or does a lot of borrowing from other libraries.
Community lending.
Every once in a while, you will be shocked at what you can find.
Right.
You have to go digging, but you'll be shocked. So, use what you can. Do what you can. If you are completely clueless, And even our very simple definition, you're telling yourself that that's not enough. I need more. That's why we want you to get as much information from as many different resources as possible. Because at that point, then you are, for lack of a better word, right, exposing yourself to all the different ways to do this.
I have found both big D's and little S's. They come into the lifestyle and they label themselves. Oh, I'm this, this, and this. And so many people, over time, as they grow and they evolve and they become this hybrid big D, and they become this hybrid little S, I don't consider myself that anymore because it's not truly who I am. I'm something different. You know, you may find yourself that in the beginning the label grounded you. Mm-hmm. Okay,
gave you a starting point.
Gave you a springboard, mm-hmm. But then as you grew and evolved, you became something more.
Right, and either the label didn't fit you anymore, or the thing I do, this is usually when I get into a conversation, somebody who's like really pissed off about labels, they really don't like them. I just decide what that word means for me. And so I don't worry anymore. I mean, I feel really good about myself as a Smith. So there are a lot of places in life I got a lot of like, oh no, you know, professionally especially. When it comes to being a submissive, I've defined what those words mean for myself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter to me. I'm not offended. I'm not worried. I'm not anything. If what submissive or baby girl or even masochist means to me doesn't match what that word means to you,
mm-hmm.
It also does not bother me or hurt my feelings or do anything when somebody rejects that label and they say, I don't want to use that label. My brain kind of goes, because my brain is wired to really like the label.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that somebody else can't reject the label. So yeah, it is, you will grow either out of a label that you once gave yourself, or you'll grow within a label. Like, right. I've always said I was submissive. I always feel like I don't really have a good understanding of what it means to be a slave, because what I do understand or think I understand about it and what I've seen of it is so much the opposite of what is right for me that I've kind of gone, no, I so don't relate. So therefore I don't even worry about that. And, you know, short of trying to help people who might come to me and ask questions, that it, you know, it's, I'm a submissive from day one that I figured out what this thing was. I'm a submissive. What that means internally, what the actual definition means to me, has evolved over time. And that's how I handle it. And other people will cast off one label and put on another. And some people will just not have a label at all. And they'll just do their own thing. And every single one of those ways is valid. Every single one of them. There. Mm-hmm. That. We're going to say it again. Bottom line of the whole damn thing. Said it a few minutes ago. Say it again. Because I'm learning to like bottom lining it. Not just because I get to say bottom. whatever it means to be a dominant, whatever it means to be a submissive, is whatever it means to you and however it works between you and the other person. That's it. That's it. That is both the mm-hmm. simplest definition and probably the most maddening definition, because it doesn't actually define anything, and I totally get that. So there. We did it.
All right.
And I think I only went on like 5 rants. Yeah. I love it when I leave you speechless.
Yeah.
So we do not have mail this week. I know there's some on the way, it just hasn't arrived, mm-hmm. but we will do it. I won't say it's short. Last time I said it was a short bonus section.
Yeah, bonus section.
We will do a bonus section. So for the crickets or new people who are like, bonus section, mm-hmm. stick around. I have no clue if it'll be interesting or not. But we're in a good mood because we're recording in daylight.
Yes.
I know.
And we're awake even.
And we're only on our like 10th coffee of the day. It's fine.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Are we good?
Vaguely.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week. Daddy.
Yes, baby Daddy. Girl.
I waited for you to see the time and write down your note and do all of your things before I said anything.
You did. You were very good this time, baby girl. I'm proud of you.
Do I get a cookie for that?
No, but you can talk to the crickets.
Thank you, Daddy. I have not a fucking thing to talk about. I mean, the things that we've been doing have all, for me, have all been work-related. You've been doing house-related things. In 2 weeks, we go out of town for a week. So my whole...
Actually, 1 week tomorrow.
Don't say it out loud. I've been lying to myself for 3 days. But that's just, I mean, right now that's kind of all I'm focused on is I've got all this work to do. I accepted, see, if I was a regular employee of a company, we'd call it a promotion. I don't know what you call it when you're a freelancer, but essentially, because I think we all understand what a promotion means, I pretty much accepted a promotion with one of my clients where they pay me a whole heck of a lot more, but I also do a whole heck of a lot more. Mm. And it's not a bad life, and that when it rains, it pours. So I've got another client who went, hey, if I pay you extra, will you do these things? And I went, of course I will.
Yes.
And why? Because in a couple of years, now this is going to sound a little weird. Let me explain, because the freelance life is weird. Okay, so in a couple of years, y'all, 2020, we're buying a house, a new house. But because we are both self-employed, the mortgage man said, the mortgage man, I'm sure he'd like to know I called him that.
Have you seen the mortgage man?
The mortgage man. The mortgage man, because I won't say his real name, and he's a really nice guy.
We are not sure the progression yet of how this is going to play out.
But let me explain this part. Okay. Let me explain all this right. part. So the mortgage man said, you are self-employed, so you have to show 2 years of tax returns at as high a number as you can, and then we're going to take the average of that, and that's what we're going to base how much of a mortgage you can get. Well, we want to buy a bigger house, and we want, you know, I would like an actual office with an actual door, little things. And so I pretty much am, I will say no to jobs that there's, I'm not fucking doing that, but I'm kind of not saying no to anything. Because I got to get my taxes, my income up. And you're doing all kinds of other stuff and selling more stuff to get your income up. And it's
I'm busting chops and it's showing fruition. I have been, she's correct. I have been doing stuff around the house. I have gotten a little lax over the last couple of years about finishing up some projects. And because I had gotten focused on my wood turning. And I'm shifting my focus, especially now that it's summertime. It's too bloody hot to sit in the shop.
God, yeah.
All day long. But looking at getting some of those things done and seeing what work I am capable of done and what work I need to find somebody to do.
Right, around the house.
Around the house.
I know we had an electrician here looking at something, and I was like, oh God, we're actual grown-ups. I've never hired an electrician in my life. I've also never done electrical work. It's not like I'm usually the one doing it.
I hate electrical work.
I'm scared of it. I'm scared of electricity. I'm the type of person who would get electrocuted.
Long as you shut off the breaker and you check the line and make sure there's no juice.
I just feel like it doesn't matter. I have that kind of luck that we can do all of that, and some rogue bit of electricity could still find me and zap me. I have no experience to base this on, but it is a fear I have, and I'm an anxious person.
So, you know, looking into that, work-wise, I have embarked upon an in-depth study of SEO, search engine optimization.
And it's about as exciting as it sounds when you hear that name. It on some levels, it is fascinating because it's this thing when you work online of, oh my God, how do I get people to find me online? Okay. I can do this thing.
Well, I guess that kind of brings out the geek in me because I am finding it fascinating.
And I do too. I should not lie and say I do too. The technical aspect of search engine optimization and getting that stuff done and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's Charlie Brown's teacher in my head. But seeing it in practice is fascinating to me. So, it's weird when you work online that these, I promise you, a few years ago, I would never have thought, oh, yes, one day I'll be married to a man who's, you know, doing keyword research. Like, that I even would know what the hell that means. So yeah, it's been kind of weird around here. It's very much focused on future goals. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we keep like going off either to get coffee or to get a cheap lunch, and we'll sit there and one of us will have a notebook and a pen and we're like, okay, look,
scribble.
Here's the list of the things we're going to get done. Okay, here's, let's break down the list into reasonable mm-hmm. tasks. Okay, here's the money coming in and here's the money going out. And it's like this constant planning session.
Right. I mean, we talked in past episodes about the cluster
right here
of the parking here at the association, and you know, it made us take a long hard look, not even just for that aspect, but for the fact that, you know, for the time we have been here, we have outgrown our condo.
Oh yeah, God, I think we kind of outgrown it when we moved in, but it worked. And so it didn't matter.
And you know, add that to the fact we have a young lad who will be coming a teenager.
Oh God, I'm not ready for this.
In another month and a half.
I'm not ready for this.
And you know, shortly following that, he's going to want to drive.
And we have a plan for that too.
Well, we have a plan for that too down the road.
It's a little scary how we've mapped shit out for the past for the next few years.
But in the existing condition, that would not be a possibility.
No, well, it would, but I'd be fighting with our COA, and I just don't know that either you or the COA could handle me, you know, kicking ass and taking names, because I would probably go mama bear at that point. Yeah. I probably would be like, bitch, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Right. Let me explain to you how this is gonna fucking work. And quite frankly, I haven't got time for that. I don't get into drama because I'm too busy doing other shit. And that's just how I look at life. You know?
So we've made a plan. And
we're moving forward with it.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm thinking, so this is a year in the future, and for some people, it probably boggles their mind to plan that far in the future. We're actually planning up to 3 years in the future at this point, because it makes me feel good to have plans. my anxiety likes it. My type A self likes it. But so in a year from now, and truly in a year from now, if we're not in a place we're going to be temporarily and have moved from where we currently live, I'll be very disappointed. But there's a good chance that, yeah, even I will go, you know what, we're moving house, and so we're gonna take a couple weeks off. But we're transitioning. We got some good advice from our realtor, who is kinky. We got some good advice from our new tax guy, who is kinky. I guess I just need a kinky attorney and a kinky car mechanic and a kinky electrician and plumber, maybe a general handyman. I just kink me up. Everybody needs to be kinky. So yeah, we're actually doing some of these things in stages, and it's like, it's, you know, for me, on one level, it's exciting to plan and to start making plans. And on the other hand, because I am an anxious person, there's a little bit of anxiety there
too. Well, I love it when a plan comes together.
Well, yes, I know. And I do too. I don't have as much experience with, I have plenty of experience with making plans. Psh, I'm a planner. I do not have as much experience in my mind of actually working with somebody else to not only formulate the plan, but to make the plan happen. And you are the first person that I've ever been connected to outside of my parents. And that I was a kid, I wasn't involved in any of the planning. I just went where they told me to go. You are the first human being in my life where you and I together make a plan, tweak it as we need to, and then move forward in that plan and make the plan fucking happen.
Yeah.
It's still very strange to me. One, I've almost always been a solitary worker. I am not that person who wants to work in a fucking team. I don't like teamwork. Leave me the fuck alone. What do you want? I'll get it done. That's how I handle teamwork. I'm fun in a team. So I know that I read a lot of these.
I feel special.
You should. I read a lot of these articles about how millennials, you know, that are hitting, that have been in the workforce, they're in their 20s and 30s, and they were sort of brought up in this team aspect, but you look at Gen X, which I am, and we're like, fuck that shit, I don't do teams, are you fucking kidding me? I am that Gen Xer. I'm like, back up with your fucking team shit. So because I don't have that kind of experience, and I never had a good team experience as a kid, you and I being able to do this is very cool to me, but I don't have So it's weird. I have the confidence in you, okay, and I have the confidence in us as a unit together,
right,
that we can do the things we want to do. We will adjust. We will hit bumps in the road.
Sure.
Shit'll happen, of course. But that we can get from point A to point B together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've done it, I can name two separate occasions specifically where we've done it. I'm sure we've done it a million other times, but two big ones. But I don't have enough experience in general, 38 years of life with teams, to be confident about it. So it's a little bit like, oh, yay, look at us. We're planning a thing and we're working towards it. Oh, God, when is it going to crash and burn around my ears? It's fun being an anxious person. So, yeah, it's mostly just a lot of work. And I think it's going to be, I think, truly, there's just going to be a lot of just grinding it out over the next several months, because there's a lot of stuff that has to happen. We're going to be making road trips to where we think we might want to move to get a feel for the different areas to decide, what about this? What about that?
Yep.
I've got to research schools, because while John Brownstone is perfectly capable of researching schools, that is one of those things that I would not be able to sleep at night without knowing the information for myself. It's not something that could be relayed to me. You could tell me about an electrician you met. You could tell me about a house you saw, because I know that you're not going to let me live in crap. But nobody else could tell me that this school or that school for the kids is the right one. I have to see that for myself. So I have to do that. There's just this stuff. And I apologize now that this is probably going to be what we talk about for at least so right now the advice we got was to sell the house sometime within the next year, and we're leaning towards the end of next school year, rent wherever we think we want to live,
right? So that gives us the luxury of looking for what we really want
and making sure that we know what neighborhood we want to live in and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And then so we would rent for 6 months, a year, however long that took, and then we'd buy. So it's this like big long process.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my anxiety will kick in, because I'll want there to be a stopping point, and that's going to be stretched out a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is going to be our new obsession for the next I don't know how long. So hopefully some more interesting things happen, so this is not all that we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Because that would be boring for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I mostly just keep my head down and I'm working
now,
right now.
You know, we have not gotten mail in a little while.
We have not gotten mail in
a
little while. But I know we have some on the way.
We do have some on the way. But if there's any new listeners and any new crickets, maybe they'd be interested and they want to know the address and what
I know.
This is all about.
Is anybody still listening at an hour and 11 minutes and 34 seconds? I know. And I should get better about that. But see, you know, here's how my brain works.
Okay.
Here's how my brain works. I had this thought when we, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we talked about moving. I was like, oh my God. We have 100, however many episodes, because I can't remember when we got the P.O. box, where I have given the old P.O. box address. And in a set amount of time, we're going to move and we'll get another P.O. box. Of course we will.
Right.
And we'll have the mail forwarded, because of course we will. But they only forward for so long. So my anxious planner brain said,
I see. Okay.
And so... Because some people don't. You know me, but the planners out there are going, I know exactly what the fuck she's about to say. So I am thinking so fucking long term that I'm not thinking today. I'm not even thinking a year from now. I'm thinking a year from the time we move and we have our address forwarded. 2 years worth of all those old episodes, including whatever episodes we record going forward, where I might see the address, and then in 3 years' time, somebody's going to listen to that. They're going to go, oh, this is the address, and it's not going to work. And my brain went, no, not 3 year in the future, person. I don't want to fuck them up. Because I have something wrong with me. That being said, yes, you can mail us mail, and I would love mail, because I haven't gotten to read any of the mail on the air in a long time. So I will chance it. I will risk that in 3 years somebody will hear this and not know that there's a new address. I know how insane that sounds. That's why I haven't told you until now that that's what I've been thinking. But the address for anybody who is curious and understands how time works, it is P.O. Box 391, P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida, Crystal Beach, Florida, 34681. 34681. So if you send us a postcard, if you send us a Hallmark card, if you send us a letter, if you send us just a little, you don't have to like, I say postcard because it's the cheapest postage, but it doesn't matter. Some people can't find postcards, don't like them, want to write something longer than a postcard can contain, don't want the mailman or mail person, I should say mail person, the postal work. Oh God, what's the right word? I know mailman's not the right word. The person who delivers your mail.
The person.
You don't want them reading what you're writing. Like, I get that. We get all kinds of stuff and we love it. And we will, you know, tell you how great we think you are in the bonus section of a podcast. And then when I get off my fucking ass, I will send out postcards to people who have sent us stuff. So yeah, I do. That is one of my fears.
Sometimes I find the inner workings of your mind to be downright frightening.
You should be. And this is what it's like in there all the time. And usually with about 10 things going simultaneously. So, but yeah, that's it. So yeah, we like mail. And I know we've got mail coming from London. I know we have mail coming from, I can't remember what state Oleander lives in. Oh crap. Illinois? I think it's Illinois. She's sending us something.
Yes.
I think it's Illinois. I wouldn't say her city, but I think she's in the middle of the country state, but with a city.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. All the states have cities. And on that note, we need to go.
I think we need to say goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm running. I'm screaming.
Thank you, everybody.
We love you guys.
We love you. We appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for listening to us.
Yes. Thank you for putting up with whatever this bonus section just was. Bye.
Bye.